Then he says, I will bring them again, also out of the land of Egypt. There are very few in the land of Egypt today. Well, I personally think they may be scattered again, and gather them out of Assyria. And I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. Now I bring them to Lebanon. Actually, Lebanon is part of the promised land. If you'll read very carefully Joshua and notice where the borders are put down, Lebanon was part of it. And it's the belief of a great many that when the Bible speaks of the land of milk and honey, it had reference rather to the southern part of the Lebanese coast and that area there. It even today is a very rich and fertile area. Well, I don't agree with that, may I say, because I think at the time that Joshua sent spies into the land, there was rainfall there, and the hills were wooded, there were springs, and there was fruit in abundance, so that actually a few years of withholding rain can make a desert. It doesn't take very long for certain places to become desert. Now, during the dust storm, many of us remember that there are still areas in the Middle West that are nothing in the world but desert. And if you would go back beyond the dust storm, you'd find it a very fertile land. In fact, wonderful pasture lands, but it's a desert today. And up here in the San Joaquin Valley, it's supposed to be the most fertile, lush valley in the world, produces more even than the Valley of Esdraelon. But frankly, if it wasn't for irrigation, that'd be a desert up there. So a little water makes a lot of difference, makes a big difference. That is what has happened to the land. But Lebanon was to be part of the promised land, and God certainly hasn't given them that. They've been criticized enough for certain Arab lands they've taken, but someday they'll be given Lebanon. And I guess any Lebanese listening to me are not going to like that, but I don't think they need worry. That's not going to happen to the millennium. And when that begins, why, everything's going to be so wonderful, even for the Lebanese, that I don't think they'll complain at all. Verse 11, and he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart, and I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. Now, he is basing the return of these people using language that was appropriate to their first return when they came out of Egypt, and the same type of miracles. Now, you will recall that Jeremiah, in the 23rd chapter, says that the day is coming when they'll no longer remember the Passover, but they will remember the Lord that brought them from the east, west, north, and south. What does that mean? Well, the Passover is associated with their exodus out of Egypt, the beginning of a great miracle period. Now, God says that when he brings them back to that land, it'll be so miraculous that actually, they'll forget the Passover and forget the coming out of Egypt, and all they will remember will be the marvelous way in which he regathered them. Now, I do not think the wildest interpretation of prophecy today could come up with the explanation that the present return is a fulfillment of that, because it couldn't possibly be. And frankly, of course, it's not.